Welcome to Talk Data to Me by Safe Software, the makers of FME.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tiana Warner. With me, I have Jennifer Luther Thomas. And today we're going to be talking about machine learning in the context of geospatial data. Jen.
Hi. Yeah. Hi.
So I think we can both agree that the hiking situation in Vancouver is pretty excellent.
Yes.
Yes.
For sure.
So imagine it's your job to go out and collect GIS data on the side of a mountain, how deep the snow is, the condition of the vegetation, temperature, whatever.
Yep.
And then imagine when you get back to the office, you transfer the data to your computer and it's able to actually analyze the situation and tell you, hey, based on the data you collected today, you probably shouldn't go hiking tomorrow because there's going to be an avalanche. Or maybe you should take the day off because it looks like it's going to be pretty good tomorrow. That'd be kind of awesome, right?
That would definitely help me a lot.
So that's what we mean by applying machine learning to geospatial data. I think artificial intelligence has kind of become an empty word. Like, people use it to refer to basically any algorithm nowadays. But we're actually talking about training machines to perceive and understand the world and actually give you insights based on your data. So let's maybe talk about some examples.
Yeah, so I was looking, as soon as you search for machine learning online, there's just so much stuff that comes back. So I think one of the big ones that you see a lot is these self-driving cars.
Yes.
It's kind of scary. Like, I still don't think I would trust sitting in one of these cars, but reading about them, they're analyzing so much. They can even detect if a pedestrian looks like they're going to cross the road or not.
Oh, so if you like start walking and then you kind of hesitate, but then,
or maybe
like, it can tell that you're going to cross
somehow. Like, I don't know whether it's, I guess if you're sideways on the sidewalk, you look like you could cross the road.
Yeah. So it can read body language,
I guess.
Probably more effectively than people can. Like, some people are terrible at reading body language, but
yeah.
I imagine a computer might be better.
And I guess especially here where you will turn right on a red light, if you maybe don't see someone, if they're dressed in dark colors, the car is going to pick it up, see that this person is on the edge of the road, they look like they might cross, stop.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And people are developing these computers to go onto cars. They can process all of this in real time. Like, some of them have 3 LiDAR sensors on for, like, far away. It can detect, apparently, 2 football pitches away. That's how good it is. I know if I was behind a car, I definitely wouldn't see that.
No.
And
no.
They
and
can
in
process,
the dark.
Yeah, they can process this in real time.
Okay. So that's pretty awesome. That's stuff that, like, people, you know, humans can't necessarily do. And so, you kind of, you need a computer to do that for us.
Yeah. And I guess they're feeding this with so much data, so the cars are constantly learning. So I guess every time these cars are sent out to drive, they're always learning what's going on, what was good behavior, what is bad.
Yeah.
But testing this in real life, obviously you don't want the car to have a bad learning experience and it hits someone.
Yeah.
So they're doing a lot of this virtually, like using games. I think they were talking about getting these cars to play Grand Theft Auto and things like that. And I guess with humans, if you were sending it out on the road and learning off humans, you've got to be careful that the computers aren't learning harmful or unexpected behavior. Because I'm pretty sure if you were following just a random selection of drivers, it's probably going to pick up a lot of bad habits.
Yeah.
So you've got to be very careful about what you're teaching the computer.
That's true. I never thought of that. When you're using a bunch of data to teach a computer stuff, you need to make sure it's good data.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, like, a lot of the focus has been on replacing drivers with computers, but as well as somebody else is looking at the drivers. So are you distracted while you're driving? Apparently it can detect all of that now. So I guess a lot of people now, I think the stat was 80% of driving accidents are based on distracted driving. So I guess if they can detect that, I don't know how it would stop you being a distracted driver if someone was like, hey, put your phone away, or
make the car yell at you, or like deliver an electric shock.
That probably wouldn't be good though, because I know if I was driving, I'm already distracted, and then you shout at me, I'm not gonna make a good decision. Not that I drive distracted. Anyway.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But I mean, aside from the cars, I think Microsoft have done a lot with machine learning. They've got loads of services up on their website. So we actually at the World Tour this year had a game at the end of it. So using that, looking at photos to detect what is in the photo.
Yes.
So they've obviously taught these services, got algorithms that can...
The cognitive service API, right?
Yeah. Seeing what is in those photos, as well as your emotion levels.
Yes.
If you're happy, if you're sad. But they've got loads on there. Speech, they can do speech to text, text to speech. They can detect if you're typing. I guess for customer comments, they can work out how positive or negative the comment is, pick out keywords. Custom decisions. So if you're, I guess this is more for online shopping and things like that, to decide what they want to show users to their site based on what other people are doing on their site or what other users are doing on a bunch of different sites, that they can decide to show the
what
user.
What you'd be interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, in the world of geospatial data then, I guess the trend we're seeing right now is that people are using machine learning to, one, analyze big data sets. So what does all of this enormous amount of data actually mean? And then secondly is predictive analytics. So maybe forecasting an avalanche risk or a crime risk or something like that. Because when you've got these massive volumes of data, like a point cloud with a billion points, or maybe a satellite company that's taking 2 million images per day, humans can't possibly look at all of that data and analyze all of it and figure out what's going on. You actually need a computer to do that for you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with satellite images, you can't look at all of them and like label the pixels. Okay, this is a ship, whatever. We actually need machine learning. We need to train computers to analyze that and then get that information for us. From what I found, we're mostly seeing this with generating intel from satellite images right now. But there is also some applications with GIS points, anything with a location attached to it, like, you know, looking at all the GPS points coming in and deciding what all those locations mean, or even tweet locations.
Yep.
So what does this trend actually mean? Here is my vision. I want to see people using machine learning inside FME. So whatever data you have, you integrate it, transform it as usual, but then you apply machine learning algorithms. So put down a transformer to actually get actionable information out of that data. And then use FME Cloud to send you alerts whenever something important is discovered. So right now with FME, you can build a workflow that integrates your different sources, transforms the images, and then automatically sends alerts. But we don't actually have those built-in deep learning algorithms. It's like AI is the missing piece there. So that's what I want to see. And I think anyone can do that with a custom transformer. You just plug into a third-party tool or code or whatever you have and then export that to FME Hub for anyone to use. Dimitri did that with the Tesseract caller. I don't know if you saw that one.
I've seen it, but I have not used it.
That is the optical character recognition one. So if you give it an image, it extracts text from it. So that's kind of an example of one thing you can do. Just put that into your workflow and it does a little bit of AI there.
I guess on our side with support, one of the applications we've been looking at for this is pulling out keywords out of text. So for example, we've got live chat, we've got cases coming through to our support system. How do we link those up and find common threads between them? Because at the moment we can use FME to read the APIs for those different services and read in what a customer might send to us, but what are the keywords? So I think we've been looking at what libraries or APIs we can use FME to call out for machine learning to train it on our data to pull out what are the key bits of information that customers are letting us know, and then we can decide what best to improve on in FME, what our experts should be learning.
Yeah,
we can use it in-house as well.
I like it. So I actually did a search on our website, and I found that someone was actually sort of doing this.
Oh.
At the UC, Josh Simons from Arup, he did a presentation on it, and they actually used FME to train a neural network for their project. They used the HTTP caller with Microsoft Azure for it, and they were able to do that for a light rail project. And then because it takes time for the machine to actually learn, they used a feature holder to slow down the process. And that actually gave the algorithm time to do the
That's
learning.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So make sure you check that out.
Yeah. And is that presentation available online?
It is. Yeah. Safe.com/presentations.
I'll check that out.
Type in neural networks and it'll show up. Yeah. So that's all I have. Do you have anything more?
I guess one thing that would be cool in FME is not just it giving you outputs or like predictive analytics or alerts if something's happened in your data. But what about if Workbench knew or could guess what you were going to do with your workflow? So for example, if you were always taking in a certain type of data, so it was the same format, a similar name, and you were always building a similar workflow every time, it could probably start to learn what you're trying to do and give you transformers that would be good next. And maybe especially for new users who will quite often come to us and be like, I really want to do this, but what transformer are you looking for?
Yeah.
If FME has learned what people normally do next, it could start to kind of like predictive text, but for FME.
I like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Kind of have a little ghost transformer of this is what you might need next.
Yeah.
And then it could learn based on what everyone does and I guess also what you do in particular.
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
And I guess another option, inside the transformers, you can set defaults, which might be good when you're building one workflow, but maybe when you've brought in a different data set, you need different defaults. Instead of going in, I don't think we can do this now, like pre-saved defaults.
You can.
But multiple ones?
I've never tried to do that.
But what if FME knew? Like, normally your defaults are when you're reading in CSV, for example, but now I'm reading in shape and I set my transformers up differently. It just knows that and it's preset all my transformers to how I would work with a shapefile.
That would be really nice. Could get things done so fast then.
Yep. You almost would just need to open FME, be like, hey FME, add a shape reader. And then it would just, it knows what you want to do and
it just does it all. Yeah. Just tell it what you need and it just like lays out the entire workspace for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should add an FME version of Siri. So instead of clicking, you just be like, add a shape reader, add this. And FME would understand what you're saying and apply it. And we could give it Don and Dale's voices. That would be fun. Okay.
To find resources about this podcast, go to safe.com and in the search bar at the top, type in machine learning.
Thank you for listening to Talk Data to Me. For webinars, demos, and other resources, visit safe.com.